I get rather like this when I'm sort of preaching in a conference. I have a couple, 3 days, preaching, and then I get to the place when I just reminisce. Lovely. I think Jesus did that. If you think. All right. Verse 3 we finished. He had come from God and went to God. But I put in the word had, but it's in the present. He was come from God. The living present. Blessed, isn't it? He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now, there is nothing about what we call the Lord's Supper in John, whatever you want to call it, communion, whichever word. This, between the this supper that he's talking about now, this wasn't the Passover supper. It passes on into the Passover supper. There's no lamb spoken about. There's nothing of that. So don't get confused, William. You've got to turn to the Synoptic Gospels to find out about what's called the Lord's Supper, or the Communion, or whatever name you want to use. He says this, he rises from supper, verse 4, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. There's nothing about that in the Synoptics. They're talking about the Passover. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now you understand why the Lord, in directing two of his followers, shall we say, disciples, to go and find the place where the Passover was to be kept. And the only direction they had finally was, look for a man carrying a pitcher of water. Here's the water. Just follow him, the man that's carrying the water. Going to wash your feet. He didn't tell them that. They never knew what he had in mind. Go into the house. All right. Just follow the water. This is not cleansing by blood. This is cleansing by water. He's in a different position, frame of mind, and purpose of heart at this moment. Here we go then. He comes to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered him and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord. Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He didn't say, and my heart. He never understood. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed. That word in the original is bathed, if you had a good bath. You only don't need to wash your feet. Keep your feet clean. Well, you'll know. They all had unclean feet. Jesus himself did. You remember when he went into that Pharisee's house earlier? You washed other people's feet, you deliberately wouldn't wash mine. It was just for the dirt picked up on the road where they walked among animal droppings and all kinds of things with open sand. When they had to go into the house, Muslims still practice this. You're not allowed to wear shoes, sandals, anything when you go into a Muslim place. Did you know that? You have to take them off. They don't want any dust, dirt, whatever you want to say. They have to be left outside. Always remember that. I hope you never go to Muslim churches. It's a wicked religion, has nothing to do with God at all. Keep that very clear. Muslim religion is built upon a penal code. That is, borrowed from Moses, of course, and made worse. If you're a thief, you take something, your hand has to be cut off. Did you know that? It's a wicked, hard religion. I'm afraid it's taking too great a root in other countries than Eastern countries. Here is the big thing. Oh, let me make one more comment. You know why, don't you? They got the money. It's under their feet, the oil wells. They buy their way into everything. And they can. Whilst the poverty-stricken church, or so they would have us believe, seems to be stretching out for just a place to live or a crumb to eat. It's another way of saying the love of money is the root of all evil, and they've made a religion of it. All right, no more comments. Just so long as we learn to distinguish the things that differ. You might write that down, unless you've got a memory that will retain it. You must distinguish the things that differ. But then that requires thought. All right. Of course, when Jesus said that, poor Peter, he seldom knew what he was talking about. You'll know that. As we have a saying in England about you're talking out of the back of your neck. Peter was always doing that. Always. One time God said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter, an apostle, Satan, can't believe it, can you? All right, If I don't wash thee, thou hast no part with me. You have to be washed by Jesus Christ personally. All right. It's so wonderful, isn't it? Peter says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Dear old Peter, he wanted it all, but he'd got such a nature that had no way he'd never been born again. He'd never got the new nature in him. So Jesus said to him one day, get behind me, Satan. Called Peter Satan. Not Saint Peter, Satan Peter. How about that? Isn't it amazing? You can switch to being a Satan any time if you're not careful. You really got to know this Jesus. Well, here we go. Wash me, everything, Lord. I want to belong to you wholly. Jesus said to him, he who is washed. Now that word washed, the Greek word there is had a bath. If you're bathed, you know, and you really had a lovely lot of water and you soaked yourself in it. If you've bathed in like that, if you've had a bath, all you need, Peter, is to keep your feet clean. That's great, isn't it? Are your feet clean? You can say the same of me. Are your feet clean? For I suppose in my privileged position, now I could have been trailing in a mucky path and you wouldn't even know. Oh, that is unless you really can't tell. It's a great thing, beloved, to understand. You're clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Take that word whit. It's an old English word. Are you clean every whit? In your thoughts, in your heart, in your conversation, in your intentions, male and female among, which you have to be, not just among ourselves here. Are you clean? In your library, in your watching on television. Are you clean? In your habits? You've got to be clean every whit. Jesus' standard. Not mine, although it's mine by adoption. Came from him. Jesus just lost what you would say looking at him as a man. Of course, we know he was superior to death. It was his last words almost. He got them into that upper room to teach them the truth. Have you ever been shut in the room away with Jesus when he's taught you so that you know inside? You mustn't be in any doubt on these lines. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful. Did you know this exclusive position? He took them into an exclusive position. Outside people did not know where he and his disciples were. He'd given them 3 years of teachings and miracles. Says so, having loved his own. But he loves the world. Yes, of course he does. But there are it all. You are supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Not like you love your own husband, wife, or children. You understand? Plain as daylight. This is it. He loved them. He's talking to them. Why do you wash my feet, Lord? I want you clean. I don't want a speck of dirt on you. Not a speck. Paul takes this up in the Ephesian letter. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He came to save sinners. That's right. But he came to save his saints too. Do saints need saving? I need saving from myself. I need saving from things that I've constituted as habits in my life. I need saving from books, perhaps, or televisions, or football fanatic, or cricket, which I may love it, or rugby, or this netball they play now. Beloved, can't you? Oh yeah, I can kick a football. I can do all that. Do you understand? Everybody's pleading for humanity, to humanize and make us common like everybody else in the world. The Holy Ghost has come to put us apart. Oh, not go and shut ourselves in a monastery or a nunnery. Not that. But to set apart. You're only set apart by God unto himself. Completely. He wants to eat you. He wants to say, he taught you to eat Jesus Christ, didn't he? You take communion. That's what it's about. We don't realize how greatly we're loved. Aren't we to be like all the rest of the people in the world? No, you aren't. You're to be like the rest of the people on earth in humanity. But inside, you're not to be like them at all. Not in fashion, not in ideas, not with the spirit of the age, which is in total rebellion against God. Nothing. You're to be distinct. And different. And I tell you what, if you're like that, you'll probably set the world on fire. There haven't been many like it. Listen, beloved. He took his garments, sat down, and he said, I'd better tell them what I've done. If I may enter into his thinking, he says, you call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for I am. Now I want you to know this. I mean, I could preach on every verse in John. I think here's the thing for you to see, beloved. You have to let the Lord Jesus master you. And you've got to be able to master every circumstance in life. You understand that? If I, your Lord your master.
Say, well, that word means teacher. Exactly, that's what you do. You teach people by your life more than you do with your mouth. For so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Now, you must understand, and you probably already know it, you don't need me to tell you, that there are people who practice feet washing now in churches, in groups. But you need feel no bondage to it, because it was not incorporated in what we call, what are called the sacraments. Baptism in water, symbolizing it should do that you're baptized in the Spirit. There is the breaking of bread. They've all been instituted in the gospel that Paul said is my gospel. All right, you'll find it in his letters. All right, he substantiated baptism in water. He wasn't overgone with it. He left that to Peter. Peter seemed to love to keep ducking them in water wherever he went. But Paul wasn't so great on it. You can read it. He said, I thank God I baptized none of you. Or save the household. There you go, 1 Corinthians. You've read it. First chapter. But old Peter, he was always wanting to get them in the water. And it's good. But he was a man of great power after he was born again. This marvelous miracle. But he wasn't a great teacher. Paul was the master. In the sense of teacher. Thou art a teacher, come from God. Same word, master. He only was concerned, beloved, really to get us into the truth. He substantiated baptism in water. He substantiated what we'll call the communion, Last Supper, or what you want, so they're not to be confused, but never mind. And he substantiated everything, but he never gave any orders to the church about foot washing. So that's why it isn't incorporated into the general position. If you like to practice it in your church, that's up to you. But must never be enforced. It's very wonderful. I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. That's the word translated blessed in Matthew 5. Happy are the pure in heart, not blessed. Now, you have to know this, beloved. Now, if you care to wash one another's feet every morning, that's fine. It may do your pride a lot of good to get down and wash one another's feet. It was just to make them comfortable. There was grit between their toes through walking in the sand and the muck and the mire. Well, there was. I don't know how large the lump of grit were. But there. So if you want to take that, you will understand that it was the lowest grade of servant in a man's house that was made to wash the feet. They always stink. That's hear how wonderful it is. Listen to this. Jesus made all his disciples wash their feet in the brook Kedron before they passed into the car. They all went in there with clean hearts. Clean feet, I'm sorry. But only one had a pure heart. His name was Jesus. He wants him to teach you through these things, and me too. Teach us to know our Bibles. This is the rarest thing on earth, that people should know their Bibles and know what the Bible is teaching. God bless you. But you must learn, first of all, that you must be in the position where you would wash everyone's feet, everyone present. My danger, appealing to what could be my pride, you should judge whether it is or not. Everybody wants to wash my feet, if you know what I mean. I always come and live among people who would give me gold to eat if they could. That's right. I realize my privileges. I cannot reverse them. These are the things, beloved, that you should understand. Go on with God. You'll earn positions if you go on with God. I mean, in God's reckoning. Not by man's reckoning. Here we go then. If you know this, now you get to know it. You're only happy, so far as God is concerned, if you do them. Now, are you, shall I say, living up to your knowledge? Are you doing that? Do your habits confess to me your knowledge, the way your mind works? These are the things you're to observe. The big thing that the Lord taught us in an earlier chapter is that he has to open our eyes. John 9. Hallelujah. Strive to be the servant of everybody. I speak not of you all, I am all whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. That's Judas, he's listening to it. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am, that you would have he there, but it's not in the Greek. You will believe that I am, not I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And when Jesus had said this, he was troubled in spirit, just like he had been in chapter 11. before he raised Lazarus from the dead. All right. I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Have you ever betrayed Jesus? Oh, I don't mean you've gone out and deliberately betrayed him. You can't sell him into anybody's hands. I think often what people, Christians, say and do just betrays the Lord. Thank God I don't move among a lot of them. You notice there weren't a lot there? There were only 13, Jesus and 12 apostles. It's a big thing, beloved. The disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Don't think that means he only loved one of his disciples. He loved them all. It was the disciples he loved. There's a right way and a wrong way to read the scriptures. You can read it the wrong way and it's interpreted as, it was John. Of course it was John. But he loved the disciples. He even gave this man, Judas, a chance. He washed his feet, just like he did the feet of others. And still that murderer kept secret the thing so that no one else knew, except Jesus, of course. And Jesus let him remain silent. He let the serpent's fangs stay in the midst, just in case. He practiced what he preached. No, don't go and pull out the tares. He said, you might uproot some of the wheat with it. Let them grow together till harvest. It'll all be shown then. Just who I am will all be shown. Just who you are will all be shown in the harvest. So wonderful to understand this, beloved. He beckoned to this disciple, whom one of his disciples, the whole lot of them, that was John, as we know, had his head on the Lord's breast. He could hear the heartbeat of the eternal God. Very marvelous thing. Who is it? It was Peter who moved him. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. In John chapter 6, he said to them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a demon, a devil." There's a difference between a devil and Satan himself. How glorious this is, beloved. Now, a devil inside you will pave the way for the very devil himself to come into you. Like you receive a spirit, the spirit from God, and it will pave the way for what he says later in chapter 14, we'll all come in, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What spirit have you got in you? Are you a born again person? It's very wonderful. It's very wonderful. Jesus loved them all. But he loved his own more. You know why? Because they've made a move toward him. However far you've gone, be assured, if you've made the move toward him, really moved out of sin, out of the world, by that you mean the spirit, the worldliness of the world, if you know what I mean. Okay, you've made the move. Don't stop. Whatever you do, and I dare hope, I might have helped you a bit toward that. You're to go on. You're to be in this world and not of it. You're not to be of this world. Don't team up with the world. Here's the great thing for you to see, because Christians, quote, all over the world are teaming up with worldlings. Don't you know that? You ask everybody in the basketball thing that they do these days, if there's one Christian among them, really born again one, he's teamed up with all the rest that aren't. Oh, you'll say, that's only a sport. Beloved, this is, don't you understand? These are the claws of Satan. They're drawing you back. They're drawing you in. Of course, you can kick a football if you like. That's not it. It's becoming one with them to do it. In everything, too, that counts. If you will stick out against this all with understanding, you might find yourself in a prison cell. It's so wonderful, beloved, to understand how radical this salvation is. How radical. I mustn't tell you too many stories. I've been naughty, stealing your time. But I went to Germany some years ago to take some conference work, something. And there was a lady there. Her husband wasn't there. She came. She was in dire need. I won't go into all the details. She was ill. She was unsaved. She didn't know anything about it. That night she responded to the Lord. All right. Okay. She went home and told her husband. All right. And he came to the Lord. She led him to the Lord. And he went inside the moment, or within an hour or so, of being born again, and he got all his discs. You love discs? And he tipped them in the dustbin, rubbish collector. A young fortune, surely. He knew where they were leading him. What appear to be innocent things, there's nothing innocent in this world, nothing. Nothing is innocent. Everything is significant. We're caught up in a great plan of God to make us different, make us stick out like sore thumbs. Yeah. That's what we're here for. There were times when the church and the world walked far apart. You may not even be able to remember those times. Yeah. I met a little Irishman when I was in prison. By the way, I've been to prison. So you better know I'm an ex-jailbird. All right, well, it's all right, because I wouldn't fight. That's why I went to prison. I practice what I'm preaching. But I met him. He was a choice little man. He came up to my shoulders, like some of you in the room might. And something had happened, and he was shut up in a cell, and they put him on bread and water. Now, when I was in prison, I had porridge and all that kind of thing. Yeah, a well-behaved prisoner, I think. I don't know. But this dear little man, he was an Irishman. He wanted, he loved the Lord. Yeah. And rather than mix with the world as they were trying to force to make him, he went on bread and water. When he came out, I mustn't tell you a story. But if you're in prison, now don't go if you can possibly avoid it righteously. All right. When he came out, you have to do exercise. They must let you go out, walk. This was so in England. Anyway, when you can walk in pairs, you and the fellow in the cell next to you, or something like that. But this little Irishman, I believe the word travels. There's more drugs taken in prisons, you understand, than there are outside. He wouldn't mix, and he got the noise of it all, and he found me. He decided to walk beside me. He was a dear little man. I honour him. I really do. He couldn't speak properly, and it was Irish when he spoke. And he had handicap upon handicap, you see. And we talked. And you were supposed to have so much distance between you and the other person. You say we're dot sitting. You don't all get close together because you might be hatching up a plan to break out. You understand? Oh, this is their thinking. It's not common sense from their point of view. But I don't think I was worthy to hold a candle to the man. He was a wonderful little fellow. He couldn't preach. But he found out I could. You've got to live according to your gift. And so he used to shout out everything. Was stuttering. I had to shout my answers. And we found that this couple back here, under the eyes of the office, came closer, 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 closer. He would drop out, take this man's place. This one would come up there with me. The most wonderful place to preach is in a prison. Got a captive audience. Try it sometime, but go to prison for the right reasons. Here then is the tremendous thing, beloved. I had a marvelous congregation. Sometimes long for those happy days. Well, you don't want to go to prison, will you? You'll do anything except go to prison, won't you? go and drop a bomb on 1,000 people and kill them, wouldn't you? If they'd have you in the Air Force. Just keep it clear. Know that you do not belong here, and the first claims upon you are not your king or and country or whatever you want to call him, but God's claim overrides everything. You'll get bread and water for it. Good enough. David said that. He said, your bread will be given you and your water shall be sure. If you're the Lord's. But you want jam on it, don't you? I like jam. Here's the thing, beloved, to see what it's about. I mean, would the Lord have chosen you to make an apostle of you if he'd been on earth? Look at your laid-back life and all these things. And God doesn't look upon the outward appearance. He looks on the heart. But he looks on your heart to change it, and then your outward appearance will come in line with that miracle work. God does care how I dress. God does care. Look at the wonderful feathers he puts on a peacock. I know they're proud. He does care. You get it out of your head. You can't dress how you like. You can't do anything how you like. No matter what your teachers might have taught you, and the spirit of the age might say, you're living by that wonderful spirit. Sorry, it's not in this chapter, but at least it's great stuff. You know, I even feed on it while I'm preaching it. It's a great truth, beloved. It's got to come out of your blood. It's got to come out of your brain, which is only a machine. Your thinking has to be changed. And God guarantees to claim change that if he changes your heart. If you will listen to him and not yourself. Me too. I'll tell you a little story. I've got 7 minutes yet, according to the clock. I got up this morning and I put on the tie I had yesterday. See, if you remember what colour it was. And I knew it wasn't your boss's. You know what I mean? Derek's choice. So this morning I dared to ask him. He says, you've got a nice shirt there, Mr. Moore. Don't you tell him I'm saying anything about it. I'm talking behind his back. He said, and I knew what next to ask. Do you like my tie? It wasn't this one. I got the one on my head yesterday. He said, no, I don't. He'll always tell you the truth. And I got it on this morning when I was sitting at breakfast. And I went up and changed it. I came down and said, do you like that? Yes, he said. So I didn't dress to please myself. Oh, why shouldn't I wear what tie I like with my shirt? That's the spirit of the world, and you may be full of it and call yourself a Christian. Here, then, is the thing. Oh, you haven't got to dress in black or anything like that. But that was given me in Germany. I never chose it. Here is the thing, beloved. You can always tell. The discipline of the life is unto Jesus Christ. life is a school. But the school is not the building any more than the church is the building. It's what you are being schooled into in your thought within a building called a school. So may God bless us and lead us on, beloved. I told you at the beginning, I'm not really interested in your academic or position or whether you win any scholarships or papers or parchments. I'm not rebelling against that. I'm only interested in your soul. For I have to give an account for what I'm saying to you. It's all so marvelous. You bear these things in mind. I'm now teaching you Christian behavioral patterns. That's the great truth. Notice this. No man understood the things that happened next. Here he was. Jesus says, the one to whom I give the sop. See? So that shows you it was not the Lord's Supper. It was the supper beforehand. He dipped the bread in it and made a sop in it, which was often given by the host to the favored guest. Amen. Amen. Now listen. 27. Jesus said, what you're doing, you do quickly. He ordered him out. Judas didn't drop off. Jesus ordered him out. The disciples, rest of them, never knew what was in it. They didn't know. They thought Judas had the bag and there's some secret arrangement and he had to go and buy things or something like that. Guess. Stop guessing. Here it is. He says, you do it quickly. In other words, Jesus was in control. He was in control of everything all his life. He ordered his own death. You say, what? Through Pilate? Or wasn't he told Pilate, saying, you could have no power against me except we're given you from on high. He was in control. Do you like being controlled? You say, we're free. You're only free to do as you're told. Me too. And that's the marvellous thing. Some sort of, you've got to go and buy something more, give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. Listen to these words. And it was night. He'd lived in the dark, he followed Jesus in the dark, and he went out into the dark. But he was an apostle. He'd been chosen. Beloved, this is so great. I must say farewell to you. I hope to see you tomorrow morning.